This is the TipsNet for June 24th, 2020.
Calling the Tri-City TipsNet, calling the Tri-City TipsNet. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango. My name is Dave. I'm located in the town of Preston. I will be your net control this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All properly licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is now something else because the 97 repeater is in some other format besides analog. The net is held each Wednesday evening, starting at 7 p.m. local time, with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators, as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur related. Also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset. The TipsNet is a directed open net and means that we call for a round of check-ins. When everyone is checked in, we'll go down to the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have a question for the net. We'll ask for your questions after everyone has been checked in. There'll be three sections to the TipsNet. First, the open net with rounds of questions and comments. Second is the section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there's an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or seeking amateur-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communications should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, say, "This is," and release the mic button just like this. And listen to ensure no one else has called at the same time you have. Then slowly, give your call sign phonetically and with your name and location, and note that if you have a comment or a question for the net. I'll begin to take check-ins now. This is Dave, Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango, your net control for this evening. Start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Good evening, here is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich. And I actually have written down a few different topics that we might chat about or might be topics for future nets. So go ahead and put a red check mark next to my call sign. You usually do anyway.
No questions. Here it is.
1, Tango Whiskey Romeo, Tim, in City of Groton. No questions. Hopefully, an answer or two. Nice little call up. I have K6PDG, Kevin, with questions, of course. I have K1JMN, Jerry, with, unless I misheard, I think he has questions. Got fans and stuff going here in the cave, keep the air moving, so I probably should turn the radio up a bit. Got Chuck, W1FJW, no questions. KC1TWR, Tim, no questions. And NK1Victor, Steve, no questions at this time. Are there any other check-ins before we start with the questioning round? Please call now. This is your net control, K1Delta, Charlie Tango. All right, very good. Well, we'll start at the proverbial top of the list. No, actually, the actual top of the list with K6PDG. Kevin, come on in, and what's on your mind?
I heard that. Beg your pardon. Hesitation there on the part of net control. Like, do I really want to ask this question? No. I'll try not to be too wordy tonight, though. A couple of things that I, like I said, maybe some topics that would be fun to talk about. The first two, I sort of stole as ideas from conversations with Jeremy, and I know he's not here to defend himself, but maybe he'll check in there on the net, KC1NBY. But, and next week, maybe this is more for Tim's thinking cap, but next week being the first net of the month, we usually try to offer up at least a topic as a focus for the net, and it's up to members on the net, people on the net, if they want to spend time with it. But Jeremy was asking, I think it was yesterday, some questions about satellites and working amateur radio satellites, and lo and behold, he got a ham to talk to him after the NATO, had a little experience, or I guess considerable experience with that. And then I was talking to another ham today, who also knows a lot about operating satellites. And so that might be a neat topic for the first Wednesday of some month, whether it's next month or another month. The other one was a conversation, a remark that Jeremy made to me, I think yesterday or today. He said, well, I'm just hanging around. I'm just trying to look around and see what sort of improvements I want to make to my ham shack. So there's a good one. What improvements have you made to your shack or would you like to make to your ham shack? The other two things, real quickly. More directly, response to the question, Kevin, what's on your mind? The first is field day, so maybe we'll spend some time talking about field day, since that's this weekend. And the other one is noise in the shack, spurious noise that's getting into your radios. I have had a very recent experience, about 48 hours ago, with that. And what kind of things cause unwanted noise? Maybe on VHF, probably predominantly on HF. And how do you go about tracking down noise? It may not always be from the power company's lines outside your house. It might be something else. So that's what I got. K6PDG back to net.
Okay, well, we normally try and keep the net to about an hour, but I guess tonight we're probably going to have to go to about 3 hours to talk about all those subjects. Thank you, Kevin. Good stuff. I did hear the conversation with Jeremy and Charlie. He's got some satellite experience. So, and of course, Field Day, that is the topic du jour, as it's rapidly approaching. And noise, yes, noise can come from a multitude of sources. And we didn't used to think about it so much because you didn't have computers and in everything. So you've got, not only do you have an actual computer, but, you know, there's a computer in your stove, there's a computer in your washing machine, there's probably one in your refrigerator, you know, there's just stuff everywhere. And well, you can notice it on 2 meters if you pull into a drive-thru. Usually you get wiped out. So there's just a lot of stuff out there. But without me expounding too much on this, let's see what Jerry has to say. K1JMN, this is K1DCT in the TIPSnet. Come on in and pick up on those topics, or if you'd like to share something else, feel free.
K1DCT, K1JMN, good evening, everyone. And my questions surround the getting on an HF now. I got the Yaesu 450D all connected to my inverted V antenna, and try to hear some communications on there. I got some tuned around, but there's a lot of frequencies out there to tune in, and you know, just a lot of dead air as well, a lot of noise as well. So I'm just trying to figure out what would be the quickest way for me to hear something out there. If anybody got any ideas, I'll take it along.
All right. Well, that's a perfectly valid question, Jerry. As a relatively newly upgraded to general, you know, where do you go? So, you know, think about the propagation. You know, if you start in the morning, you know, sunrise thereabouts, you start at the top of the pyramid. You know, 160 or 80 meters, 75 meter phone. You start up there, and as the day wears on, you keep coming down or up, depending how you want to think, whether you want to think meters or frequency. And then during the, you know, the best part of the day, you know, I'd say 20 is a good place to look around. Sunspots haven't really kicked up all that much, so some of the, you know, that 17, 12, 10, 15, they're not so hot right now. Not saying that occasionally they aren't, but so you work them, and then as the sun starts to go down, you reverse the order and go back the other way. So without getting too technical about it, that's my short story. So let's see what Chuck has to say about anything that's been brought up so far, or maybe he's got something to throw in brand new. W1FJW in the Tri-City TIPSnet, this is K1DCT.
Yeah, typically the interesting frequencies rise when the sun rises and lower when the sun lowers. On a whole nother topic altogether, backup for the repeater, I was thinking possibly we could have a simplex backup frequency, perhaps 146.565, the old Lidcom frequency. It's also one of the channels in the Aries frequency list for the area, so we ought to have it programmed into the radios anyhow. Just throwing that out as a possible suggestion. And yes, let me reset. Yeah, everything has a computer, and worse yet, your wash machine and the modern air conditioners have static inverters to drive motors at various speeds by feeding them frequencies other than 60 hertz. So you got a big DC rectifier to rectify the line to DC, and then a multi-pole static inverter to bring it back to AC again, and it all makes noise, almost as bad as an election. Back to net, W1FJW.
Oh, yes, good, good comparison there. That's for sure. I'm still chuckling a little bit. How true. So, yeah, everything makes noise, and thankfully today's modern receivers, transceivers, are pretty good on the filtering, so you can really chop some stuff out of there, but, you know, not all of it, all the time. So, I know as I tune around on bands where there's absolutely no activity, every once in a while a little birdie that comes up, and, you know, there it is, some little carrier, and, it could be anywhere. You know, it's nothing significant, thankfully, for me, but it's all out there. We live in a noisy world. So let's see what Tim has to bring in here today. He said he might have some answers, so now's your chance. KC1TWR, this is K1DCT in the TIPSnet.
Well, thank you, Dave. First I just want to make a quick comment. At the beginning of the net, there was a lot of background RF going on in my shack here. And I said, that's not normal. Nobody else is commenting. It must be local. Sure enough, I had moved to one of my cameras, for watching for dumpsters and so forth. I had moved it to a different position. As soon as I unplugged it, all the RF went away. But it took me about half an hour to find that. Very strange. Anyhow, Jerry, my thought to you is that, first of all, Kevin, thank you for the suggestions. I'm so busy writing them down that I missed whatever question you wanted to ask for this particular tip. Anyhow, Jerry, two comments. Number one, hopefully you've got the antenna analyzer, so hopefully you hooked it up and checked out the antenna on the various frequencies to see what the SWR is, just to make sure it's okay, and that's after it's already up and installed in the trees and so forth, because just moving an antenna can change that. Number two, you can also go to raycon.org website, and on the left-hand side where it has the Raycon links, if you click on the area, HF, and VHF nets, that'll bring up a list of the various nets that are out there on all the various frequencies and the day and time that they're usually on. It's not an all-inclusive net, but at least hopefully that will get you to where you can hear and talk and what have you, at least as a beginning stepping stone, if you will. Other than that, I like what Dave and Chuck said as far as the time of day and which frequencies, which bands are best used. That's always a good thing to have in hand. Okay, and with that, back to you, Dave, K1DCT from KC1TWR.
All right, Tim. Well, thanks for those comments. Good find on the camera causing the noise. So, but you know, there's lots of noise out there, and a good way to find some of it is with a portable AM radio. Tune it to a spot where there isn't a strong AM station, and walk around and see what buzzes at you. But that's not an all-inclusive test, but it can sometimes get you started. Let's see what Steve is thinking about up there in Coventry. NK1V, this is K1DCT in the tips net. Improvements to the shack. That had already slipped off my page here. But the improvement I'd like to make is to move it south, and you know, like South Carolina somewhere, some nice place on a lake with lots of trees, and start all over. So that's the improvement I'd like to make. So, at this point, we've been down to the list one time. Let's make a call to see if someone's been patiently waiting to jump into this conversation. If you'd like to join the tips net, please call now with your call sign and let us know if you have a question or a comment. This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango, your net control. Alrighty, well, then we'll continue down the list again. We'll see if Kevin's satisfied with the answers he's gotten so far, or maybe he wants to stir it up one more time. K6BDG, this is K1DCT in the tips net.
Oh, absolutely, Dave. Yeah, mine were sort of conversation points more than questions, or a little bit of each. And good responses. I want to respond to some of Jerry's question too. But first of all, on field day, a quick story. You all know we're doing field day for the Kilowatt Club up in New Hampshire. And it's just mushrooming At first, we thought we were going to be operating two Alpha, and then we had a few of the Navy guys from New London say, hey, we'd like to, or Groton say, hey, we'd like to come up. So we said, okay, we're probably going to be three Alpha. No, I guess we're going to be four Alpha. Wow, very cool. It's our club's first field day, and we're going to be operating four Alpha. Isn't that neat? Well, as of about 3 hours ago, it looks like we're going to be operating 5 Alpha. So, we're just having all sorts of fun, and we haven't even gotten there yet. And real quick, my story on the shack noise, and I don't remember if I may have shared this on the traffic net or something. Let me reset. I was having an issue with noise. We did some HF antenna work, as you know, Dave. Made the doublet a little bit longer, and... I was complaining to Chuck, I'm getting really great signal reports, but I'm having trouble hearing as well as I think I should, and there aren't too many choices with how I can modify the antenna in the small little lot that I live on. So we're out on the back porch having a beer and trying to figure out what the options might be, and Chuck happened to say, have you tried turning the air conditioner off? And I said, no, not really. So we went in, we turned one air conditioner off, that didn't do much. Turned the other air conditioner off, that didn't do much. Unplugged the power supply that feeds the battery, it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. And that didn't do too much, maybe a little. And all of a sudden, Chuck in 1SPX reaches over and unplugs the Raspberry Pi that I've had sitting on the desk here for about 5 years. Which had some applications for the internet radio station I run, but mainly was just being used for the scanner audio that we were putting out on the audio on the internet, the Southeastern Connecticut Public Service scanner. He unplugs the Raspberry Pi, and my noise level goes down by like 3 or 4 S units. It just practically goes away. And so the Raspberry Pi, needless to say, doesn't live in the shack anymore. It has a new home at the other end of the house, and I couldn't be more pleased with my antenna. Real quickly on Jerry's question, because you guys answered him very well with some good suggestions. Jerry, there are propagation beacons that you can tune into. You can read about those online. I'm sure doing a Google search or reading your favorite ham radio news website. Propagation beacons. There are websites that help you see what propagation is doing pretty much minute by minute, hour by hour. And let's see. Oh, propagation websites, beacons. And the other one is you can always get on the air and call CQ. Make sure the frequency is not in use. Ask if anybody's using the frequency. Ask a couple of times if nobody is. And it's a frequency you're allowed to use under your license. You're perfectly at liberty to call CQ. There also are some calling frequencies that you've probably noticed in the band plans. For instance, on 75 meters, 3850. I can't remember where it is on 40 meters. On 10 meters, 28.4 is a wonderful frequency to use to call CQ or QRZ and see if anybody's around, and if the band is open, if propagation is good, you probably will learn about that because 5 people will answer you. KA6PDG, back to net.
All right, well, very good, Kevin, and I'm glad you found your noise source. It can be tricky, and sometimes you have to go unplug some of your neighbor's stuff. That can get tricky. So let's drop down and give Jerry another round in here, see if he's picked up any good tips on the tips net for operating on HF or anything else we've brought up. K1JMN. This is K1DCT in the TipsNet.
Yes, indeed, Dave. I want to thank everyone for their input. It was good information. and this gives me a lot of things to look for, research and look forward to. I guess one of my next hurdles is to learn how to tune this radio so I can get a better signal. And hopefully my inverted V is set properly. I don't know what the width between the legs should be. I mean, they're far apart. I didn't measure it. I just figured, well, it looks good. It looks like a V, an inverted V. So that's, I just left it there. But I don't know if there's some specific distance that they should be apart. Anyhow, thank you, everyone. I appreciate it. K1JMN, back to net.
All right, well, yeah, I mean, it's up there. Typically, you'd like it to be greater than 90 degrees. Less than that, it tends to get a little almost directional, or, you know, changes the lobe pattern. So if you spread it out closer to, greater than 90 degrees, then that'll usually help. But I'm sure Chuck can expound on this. So let's see what he has to say. W1FJW, K1DCT in the tip stack.
Yeah, I would say that the easiest way is to take the height of the highest point of the antenna. That would be the apex of the V where the feed line is, and multiply that by 2, and that should be the length of the antenna. Or to be less complicated, measure how high the antenna is up off the ground at the middle, then make sure that each leg is at least that far out, so that if the antenna is up, say, 20 feet, that it goes at least out from the center point at least 20 feet. And it will, because you can't get antennas up too horribly high around here, and they're all so long that usually that's not an issue. Main thing with the inverted V is to not let the ends of the antenna get so low that people grab on it when you're transmitting. That'd be about it. That's all I can add. Back to net.
All right. Very good, Chuck. You have good information. And that's... you know, and basically, if you get it up there and it loads, you know, you should be getting out. And as an aside to that, Jerry, after this net, if you wanted to pop on 10 meters, we could pick a frequency and just try it out down there and see if we can hear each other. We should be. We're close enough. So let's see what Tim has to add to the conversation here about any or all the subjects that have been touched so far, or something new. KC1TWR, K1DCT in the tip stand.
Thank you, Dave. Further on the conversation of RFI in a shack, I thought I had figured out what direction the issue was, because if I stood at one spot in my room, all interference went away. Well, that spot was about 90 degree angle from where the camera was in relation to the antenna. So to this point, I'm still confused on why, if I stood right there, the RFI from the camera no longer interfered with the antenna. But such is life, mysteries abound. Jerry, I think you're going to have fun once you get things settled in and you get on the air and make some contacts. I would definitely follow up with Dave with his offer. I think that would be good. And other than that, not much to report except still doing battle with his Jetstream 2-meter 440 mobile radio. And I finally popped the cover off, and whoever did the soldering with at the factory wasn't too careful, and I think that's half the problem. So I'm taking to take a good look at that and see if maybe some of the solder got where solder shouldn't have gone. Maybe that's the problem. Okay, back to you, Dave. K1DCT, this is KC1TWR.
All right, very good, Tim. And I had time to dig out my ARRL handbook and quickly get to the inverted V section. And it says, and I'm going to read verbatim for the inverted V, best results are obtained when the enclosed angle of the drooping dipole, as it's referred to, is 90 degrees or more. At angles less than 90 degrees, considerable cancellation takes place and reduced antenna performance results. At angles greater than 120 degrees, the antenna functions very much like a horizontal dipole. So that's, always, the handbook's always a good source of some solid information. So let's see if Steve has anything else to toss into the mix. NK1V, K1DCT in the tip stack.
NK1V. Let's see, oh, got a noise. My ham shack is actually what used to be the back porch. It was enclosed porch, and I finished it off and insulated and all that stuff. And during that process, I thought it would be a really good idea to put aluminum screen below the floor, and all the vapor barrier is actually like a polymer, aluminized polymer. Just happened to have my hands on. So all that is bonded together and then tied into my grounding system. And it seems to be effective. I have a doorway that's wide open into the kitchen, you know, where the previous door was, and that seems to allow me to get my Wi-Fi and all that stuff to the computer. But nothing in here seems, but I rarely have any noise issues here unless I do something that creates it. Like last week, I think when I was messing around with that microphone, I know why it's making that noise, but that's a different subject. So while I'm on that, the worst case I've ever had of that, and it's a very common thing, which I love to do when I go camping and stuff in the RV, is in a park or any campground where there's multiple RVs, the power supplies or battery maintainers, whatever you want to call them, that are in most campers are horrific. They're just, they would never thought of getting any kind of radio reception when they build those things. They're, I don't know if it's just expense or what, and so it's horrible. You know, mine is controllable because I can shut it off and run off battery, but anybody nearby, especially get down on 80 meters or something like that, it's just horrific. So that's my noise story. So I just do what I can, and I go camping, and so if you hear me out at a campground and I'm noisy, it's not my fault. I'm back to that NK1B.
All right, very good. Well, I will have gone through the list twice here, so I'll make another call out in case there's someone out there with a burning question or a equally aflame answer that would like to join in to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Please come with your call sign now. This is Kilo 1 Delta, Charlie Tango, your net control.
Okay, 6PDG.
Yes, Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick comment. Before you get Jerry chatting up on 10 meters with you, I know he had made the comment, if I understood correctly, that he wasn't sure how to tune the radio properly for maximum performance or maximum output. So I don't know if he's looking for some coaching on that. Of course, if you've got a good SWR, you're probably safe. And I don't know if he's using a an antenna tuner or not. So you might want to check with him and see if he needs some additional coaching on that before you get him out in 10 meters for an hour-long QSO and he ends up burning something up. We wouldn't want that to happen. K6PDG back to net.
Okay, yeah, good suggestion, Kevin. I wasn't going to keep him on there for an hour, but if you're handy next to your HF rig right now and you want to put it on 40 meters at 7.047.5, so 7.047.5, put into the CW mode, there's a very strong signal right now from the league with code practice. So you should be able to rein that in without any problem and be hearing it very strong. So, I mean, at least an S5 or a 7. So, stand by. Okay, so, yeah, at this time, is there anyone else that wants to jump in with any final comments or questions before we get into the second section? Please call now. This is K1DCT. Okay, not hearing anything of that nature. Let's move into the second section. Are there any stations that have any announcements or items of interest to the amateur community? Please call now.
K6PDG with an announcement.
Kevin, go ahead with your announcement.
All right, this is probably a repeat from last week, but just a reminder that the Thursday morning breakfasts at Old Times Restaurant will be starting up, at least to some degree, tomorrow morning. They'll be Thursdays at 8 o'clock. The restaurant now opens an hour later. So the breakfast, the ham radio breakfast, will be at 8 o'clock Thursday mornings. For those who feel comfortable having breakfast indoors with their amateur radio friends, and that'll be at Old Times Restaurant in Norwich. KA6PDG, back to net, nothing further.
Very good. Any other announcements or items for the good of the amateur community? Please call now. This is K1DCT. All right then. We'll move into the third section. Anyone looking to sell, swap, or seeking some amateur-related items, please call now. Well, not hearing anything, and I'm looking at the clock, it's a little early. Normally I like to keep this thing going a bit longer. So there's no objections. We'll run down through the list again, just see what people have, passing thoughts, and those kinds of things. So if you have an objection, you can not respond and just sit back. So let's go to Kevin, K6PDG. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet. Net control, K1DCT.
Well, I probably said more than my share already, so not too much more. I did do one little thing with SPX being here visiting. I can use his eyes and his brain a little bit. And we were in the shack here playing with my ICOM 7200. And I said, you know what, I wonder how hard it would be for me to utilize the memory channels. I've never really felt the need to use memory channels on HF a lot. I know what frequency I want to go to. I know what frequency my favorite nets are on, etc., etc., etc. But I thought, well, you know, let's give it a try. And sure enough, I am able to program the memories without seeing the display. And the voice, it won't tell me what memory channel I'm on, but it does read me the frequency. And one kind of cool thing about it is if I have my, you know, my favorite 75 meter, my favorite 40 meter, my favorite 20 meter, my favorite, you know, frequencies on the various bands programmed in there where I like to chat or check into nets or whatever. And I can kind of, you know, almost to Jerry's question when he was saying, how do I know what frequencies are good to use at a certain time of day? I can sort of tune across my memory channels and I can tell, or maybe I hear some adjacent frequency chatter going on, or I can tell what bands sound like they're open by the static and the noise I'm hearing, and just push the button to see what frequency I'm on and go, oh, well, look at that, 40 meters is open. So that was kind of a fun thing that happened to me today. Other than that, just really excited about field day. We're down to the last about 15 hours before we leave for New Hampshire, and looking forward to having a good time. And we're going to try and check into the Flying Saucer Net tomorrow night. If we can get an antenna up in time, we'll try and check into that tomorrow night at 9 on 28.475. KS6PDG, back to net. Happy field day, everybody.
All right, very good, Kevin. Yeah, it's memory channels. I don't have mine full on my 7300, but I do have a number of them programmed because I operate in different modes. Sometimes it's nice to just go down to the next channel or up to the previous channel or whatever. So, you know, if I'm operating 20 meters digital and maybe I look at the spotting site or something, there's somebody on CW or sideband that, you know, some country I want to work or a park on the air or something, I just, you know, I got them all programmed in there so I can quickly jump and hit the next thing and go to sideband or CW, and that way the filters are all set and I can just go to the, if it's not that particular frequency, is, you know, it's easy enough to go off somewhere else. So I don't use them exclusively, but they are kind of handy. So let's see what Jerry has to say, if he's found 7.047.5 and is receiving the leak code practice. K1JMN, K1DCT in the Tipsnet.
Yes, indeed, Dave. I got there and got some code coming through, and there are several frequencies coming up, and I can hear them loud and clear. So, success. Thank you so much. And back to Matt.
All right, very good. Well, I guess that's on there every day at 4 in the afternoon and at 7 p.m. In the evening. Of course, they have a multitude of frequencies, but that's one I have plugged in here real quick if I want to go over and check my code out, see if I'm getting better or worse. So that's good stuff. So we'll discuss a frequency after the net here for if you want to try 10 meters. Let's see what Chuck wants to add in here. W1FJW, K1DCT in the tip net.
I just want to state something that I know Kevin would forget, but it's very important when you set up your field day station to have a direct path from the operating position to the kitchen. Back to net, W1FJW.
And the outhouse.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking, Kevin. Both are good. Let's see what Tim wants to add into the conversation here. KC1TWR, K1DCT in the tip net.
This is KC1TWR, and unless I can make some really good progress with this jet stream, I may put it up as a freebie on the next week or two on the swap section, because I can only take so much frustration in my life at this point. But, definitely on field day, make sure you've got a clear path to the kitchen. It's well stocked, so you don't have to go out shopping. And make sure you have a clear path to the lavatory or outhouse. And don't forget your paperwork when you go in there. And with that, back to you, Dave, K1DCT from KC1TWR.
Yeah, give a whole new meaning to a dupe sheet. So, all right, let's give Steve a last shot at everything. He can have, besides me, of course, he can have the final words. And K1V, K1DCT in the tip net.
And K1V. I'll start with wishing the NA1KW, the Kilowatt Club, safe travels and good luck. And, they're difficult times to be on the road and away from home. And hopefully all will go well and everybody will be safe. And I will do everything I can, wherever I end up, to assist in your field day functions. And other than that, back to net. And K1V.
All right, very good, Steve. All right, we've been around a couple times. We've done the announcements. We've had the swap net. So unless anyone has any burning desire to get something in here, we'll make this the last call. This is K1 Delta Charlie Tango, net control for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club tips net. Are there any additional stations that wish to check in? Please call now. All right, then. That was last call. The lights are coming on. Chairs are going up on the bar. And all the happy faces are heading out the door. So I want to thank everyone for putting up with my slightly unorthodox method tonight, but, there is some room for, we'll call it wiggle room here. So, thanks to all those that participated and for those that stood by as we conducted the net. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has a meeting on the second Tuesday of each month. Presently, those meetings are being held at 7 p.m. on this repeater on the second Tuesday of the month. And all interested people, properly licensed people, can certainly check in and anyone can listen. So information about the club can be found at www.tricityarc.org. We thank John W1AN for the use of this repeater. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now will return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango. Good evening and 7-3.